In my first sermon on fasting, I gave the definition that Christian fasting is the voluntary abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose. We took some time to discuss that a little bit in principle last time, and I also had a couple of guidelines to help you understand what fasting is not and what fasting is. I'll just run through those really quickly. Christian fasting for spiritual purposes is not the same thing as abstaining from food for a medical purpose. There are lots of medical reasons to fast, and you don't eat during the night, and so in the morning you get up and you break your fast with breakfast. But Christian fasting is different. It has a spiritual purpose. It's not the same. Secondly, it's not the same thing as abstaining just for diet or for weight loss or for physical reasons, and neither is it an end in and of itself. For instance, the Roman Catholic Church and the Muslims all have specific fast days, or even a month of fasting for the Muslims. And the fasting itself seems to be the purpose of the fast, is just to have that religious discipline. And instead, Christian fasting is for a purpose, for a spiritual purpose. And the spiritual purposes that we looked at there are a variety of different things that the Bible describes. If you look up the word fast, you can do a study on your own, and you'll find that sometimes there's a reason for asking God for guidance, or for a sense of His purpose in your life. It can be for repentance and for confession of sin. It may be a time like Isaiah 58 that we saw, that you give your time and effort and maybe even finances for merciful efforts to relieve the destitution of those in poverty. So that's to get you thinking again about spiritual purposes. And this fast has been called because of the sense of need for confession of sin for and prayer for the state of our country. And we will be directing that prayer time around the focus of praying for our nation. And I gave some scripture this morning that you can be meditating on personally from Psalm 2, Psalm 110. Take up Daniel 9 again and read through it and consider the way in which Daniel confesses for the sins of a nation. And as you confess those sins, be honest about what's happening in our country, but also be hopeful. Pray for the Lord who reigns even over this to reign and to bring revival. You'll find that if you read and think through Psalm 2, that the nations think they're going to cast off God's rule and His chain, but Psalm 2 says that God in heaven laughs at the nations who think that they can separate themselves from His rule. With that in mind, let me go on to several practical items. You can think of them as bullet points. The first practical thing that I want to underline again is to have a purpose for your fast. And if you choose to cry out to the Lord and have a personal fast, we're going to have a community or a congregation time of gathering together. It's also appropriate to do it personally. If you do so personally, have a purpose for it. Answer the question, what motivates you to cry out to God? Why are you wanting to do this? And then as you dedicate time for that purpose, make sure that it revolves around God's Word, meditating on that, praying in response to the word that you read, and the need that has motivated you. There are a couple of books that I can I'll tell you that I read somewhat in preparation for this, and one of them describes a guy who decided to fast but had no purpose for it, and went through the day in utter misery and frustration, embarrassed at what he was doing, and always smelling food around him, and twiddling his fingers during those times, and thinking what he was going to eat when he got done with his fast. And it had no spiritual purpose to it, and had no spiritual benefit either because of that. So have a reason, and then use God's word to direct that reason. Secondly, a fast is something that is directed by occasion. It's not a regularly scheduled part of the of a Christian's week or month or year anymore. There was a day of fast that God gave in the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement. That is not a yearly fast that is still part of the Christian observance, because Christ has come and has fulfilled that Day of Atonement. But Jesus did say that there would be times for fasting. You might remember that the disciples didn't fast, and they got in hot water because of it, and Jesus answered, well, why would they fast when the bridegroom is present? It's time to celebrate. But then he said, when you fast, and used that term when, implying that the bridegroom wouldn't always be with us, and that there would be a time again for fasting and prayer. So fasting is guided by occasion, and there isn't any rule that describes what its frequency ought to be. We also don't have any rule in Scripture that describes the length of a fast. So it might be for a single meal that you set aside that time, like we're suggesting this Wednesday, setting aside our evening meal for a spiritual purpose, to fast and to pray. It could be longer, it could be a day or several days. We have many examples in the Bible. I might note that there is an example, actually three examples, of a longer extended fast. In fact, some people will point to Jesus' fast of 40 days. Moses and Elijah also seem to fast for 40 days. And one of the authors I read encouraged me to think of those as extraordinary, God-enabled fasts that are not the standard. You always say, well, Jesus did it best, 40 days, and so if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it like Jesus did for 40 days. And you're setting yourself up for something incorrect at that point. That in all three of those examples, there was some very direct God-given reasons for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah to fast for that time. And they were blessed with extraordinary divine sustenance during those times as well. A fast, thirdly, may be partial or total. And by that I mean that sometimes you see in the Bible that people would fast from food, but not from drink. Sometimes for total fast, there would be abstinence from food and drink. And we have scriptural examples of both of those. And if you think of what I just said about the frequency and the length of duration, sometimes that will also inform you how you might fast. So a shorter fast might be a total one, where you go without food and drink. A longer one might be just from food. Physically, we can't survive without water after 6 days, is it? I meant to look that up. I can't remember. You have to drink to survive over a long duration. So a longer fast might have, instead of eating, you might drink water, juice, milk, other things like that, which is very suitable. So think of the whole aim of what you're doing, that you have a spiritual purpose for which you're laying aside not just the food, but the time that it takes to eat and the time to pray prayer and to clean up, and you're devoting yourself to this spiritual purpose, and grabbing a cup of juice is a lot different than making a hamburger or something like that, where there's more preparation, more time that is needed in those things. So the fast may be partial or total. Fourthly, the fast is not a public display of spirituality. It's not done for others to take notice of, or to set you up as super spiritual, or to gain you any brownie points either with God or with other people. So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says not to fast in such a way that people take notice. Instead, wash your face, anoint with oil. What's he getting at there? I'll just open it up to you. Why does Jesus say that?
You're not fasting towards the people, you're fasting towards God.
Right, so why would you wash your face?
Give yourself the same appearance as any other.
Sure.
Day.
Yeah, so if I as a father decided to fast and came to the meal and was grumpy and unshaven and chewed out my kids and gave explanation for it, well, I'm fasting, and that is not the accomplishment of the fast of the Lord. That's getting attention for myself. Instead, if you have a personal fast, pay attention to yourself. Don't seek public attention. One author says to retire during its continuance as much as possible from the world, shut out its illusions, and endeavor to break its hold on our hearts. That has the instead of a public attention, there is a private attention that's given to God, and there is a sense of needing to withdraw from those other things that might distract you from the reason that you're fasting. Typically, it's personal. We see a lot of examples of that in the Bible, but it may be communal. There are times that the people of God in Scripture come together for a community fast, and again, that's what we're proposing this week. Very, very practical. Let me also encourage you to consider your own medical condition, that it's appropriate to say, is a fast right now appropriate for me? Some that would answer not right now might be pregnant or nursing moms. You have a reason to care for your children that fasting would be might be damaging to your health or to your children. Someone with diabetes or with other medical conditions or special diets need to think very carefully. If I fast, will it prompt a diabetic episode? I need to take that into account and find other ways to satisfy the desire for meeting with God and crying out to Him that doesn't jeopardize your health. If you've never fasted before, it's wise and appropriate for you to think about it. It is a part of the Christian life, and I urge you to consider it. I'll also encourage you, just practically speaking, to start small. Don't jump into a long, extended fast if you've never done something like this before. Instead, you might start with a meal during a specific time that has prompted you to cry out to the Lord, and try a variety of different settings. And I would also suggest that as a place to start, that you start with a fasting from food but still maintain a liquid diet as a place to start, again, as you learn some of the disciplines and the practice of fasting. Resources that I've used and been blessed by are these. John Piper has a book called Desiring God, A Hunger for God, where he speaks specifically about fasting. Martin Lloyd Jones, in his sermons on the studies on the Sermons on the Mount, has a section on that. Samuel Miller, it's an older theologian, has a title called Religious Fasting. And then some of you might have a book by Donald Whitney called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. Those are some good resources. There are others as well, but those are ones that I've used. I do want to give you time to ask questions, make comments. We have a mission team with us this week, and I didn't alert you to this beforehand. We're inviting you to join in if physically and able, and if you desire. I'm not recommending that you fast earlier in the day. You have works of service that are going on, so eat breakfast and pack a lunch. Bring a lunch, and but if you'd like to participate in the evening, we'd love to draw you into that.